Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Hey. We are holding on daf Mem Dalet and Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. The Mishnah is going to discuss how much do we undress a man or a woman before giving them skila, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of chashin and lihirhur. Do we have to worry about hirhur? There's going to be a stira between the halachos relating to giving a woman skila versus the halachos of a sota, a double stira, because both shitos and tanaim are going to be sota themselves, and we're going to work on resolving that stira. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss how they did the actual act of stoning. The Gemara is going to tell us that the exact height of the Beis Haskila, why it wasn't any taller, why it wasn't any shorter. The Gemara is then going to derive the details of Skila from a pasuk about the punishment for touching Har Sinai, and we're going to derive that Lidoros as well. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether one or both Edim throw the stone on the person, and whether a second stone was ever necessary, and where the how they replaced the original stone, what they did with the original stone. Then the Gemara, the majority of Amud Beis, is going to be based on a comment of Shmuel. Shmuel is going to suggest that if Edim don't have hands, then we can't execute the person, because it says Yad ha'Edim tia b'barishona, that the hands of the Edim have to be the first to kill the person. So we see the Edim need to have hands, and that's going to lead to a broad discussion about whether we always require kra kidichsiv. When the Torah happens to mention the way something is done, what if we can't do it in exactly that way? Does that mean that the whole din is abolished? Or does it mean that, no, we can still do it, we just can't fulfill that particular detail the way the Torah presented it? So today's shir is sponsored again by Avishai and Elisheva Neumann, Lizuchus Erefu Shalema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have Refu Shalema B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. Let us begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalet on Beis. Hayirachuk Beis Haskila Arba Amos. Once they were 4 amos away from the Beis Haskila, Mafshitin Oso Esbegodav, they would take off the person's clothing when they were 4 amos away. Within 4 amos, you're already considered to be in the Makom, and apparently they had to undress them once they were before they were in the Makom of the Skila itself. So they did it in the last possible opportunity before they got within the Dalet Amos. A man would have a small covering in front of him to cover his erva, and a woman would have a small covering both in front and in back, because it's both considered erva. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's at least Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Only a man would have this issue, because only a man is niskalarum, is stoned, undressed. A woman is not undressed before her skila. So says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Heish mechas. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a man is covered in one spot, a woman is covered in two spots, because she's erva both in front and in the back. And the Chum say, no, only a man gets stoned undressed, but a woman does not. Why do the Rabbanan say that a woman remains dressed, only a man is undressed for the skila? Amarkra viragmu oso. It says viragmu oso, that we stone him. My oso. What does it mean? What are we learning from the word oso? Ilema oso velo osa vaksivatse says ishahu osa ishahi. If you want a darshan that only a man can get stoned and a woman cannot get stoned at all, well, no, it's against the beferish pasuk. The pasuk says you take out that man or that woman. Elamai oso oso velo ksusa. Ha'osa biksusa. Oso means that one detail of the skila only applies to him. The idea that he's going to be below ksusa, that it's going to be direct, that only applies to him. But when it comes to a woman, we don't have such a detail. There's no halacha that we don't have such a halacha by a woman that she's undressed. If you look at the top Tosos, ha'osa biksusa, lav mikra darish. Tosos points out, this is not a real drasha from from the pasuk. So it's not really a miut that we could derive from here, because we already use the word oso to teach us that it's below suso. Oso teaches directly on the person and not their clothing. So we already use the word oso just to teach that din. The real reason for this din, that a woman is stoned while she is still clothed, is because we don't want to be mevazaher, we don't want the other people to have hirurim when we do this, or something like that. It's not really about the pasuk. So even though we start off by seemingly darshaning a pasuk, says Tosos, the drasha is not a real drasha. The only real drasha from Oso is that in general there is a halacha that one should not be clothed, ideally, when we are giving them skila. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oso blok suso, loshna ish veloshna isha. Rabbi Yehuda says, like the simple drasha that Tosos just quoted, that Oso means blok suso, and there's no distinction between an ish and an isha. Both of them are blok suso. So essentially what we have over here is that the Rabbanan are concerned that a woman should not be undressed for the skila, and Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't matter, we undress the woman, it does matter, we have to dafka undress the woman for the skila, just like we undress the man for the skila. So the Gemara makes an assumption over here that presumably the reason the Rabbanan don't want the woman to be undressed for her skila is that we're worried about hirhurim. The same reason that in general we want people to be makbid about tznius, that other people are going to have hirhurim when they see someone who is not dressed properly. So that it makes it sound that the Rabbanan are the ones that are worried about hirhur when it comes to punishing the woman, that if she's undressed, people are going to have hirurim. And Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned at all. He says, okay, let her be aruma as well. So, frankly, Gemara, but there's a problem. In the context of Sota, there's also a machlokes about how undressed a woman should be when she's being taken for the Sota procedure. And the machlokes is between the same two protagonists, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, but they hold the opposite shitos. Because the Tanan, we have a mission. Hakoin oches b'begadeha, the Kohen grabs the clothing of the Sota. Im nikru'u, nikru'u. If they tear, they tear. Vim nifrimu, nifrimu. If they shred, they shred. Ad shemegala esliba, and it exposes her heart. V'soser es sa'ara, and then he undoes her hair, her braids in her hair. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hayaliba na'a, lo hayimegaleu, that if she's attractive, then he would not expose any part of her body, because if she's attractive, presumably, that's going to be a chashash of hirhur. V'im hayisa'ara na'a, lo hayisosro, if she has attractive hair, then he would not be soser the hair, because again, that's going to cause hirhurim. So bottom line is, we have a double stira over here. When it comes to Sota, Rabbi Yehuda is very concerned that if she is not Sotzenios, people are going to have hirhurim. Yet when it comes to Skila, he says the Isha's Niskela, Saruma. Yet with the Rabbanan, the exact opposite. When it comes to Sota, the Rabbanan say, hey, Nikru, Nikru, Nifrimu, Nifrimu, let the clothing be torn all you want. Ooh, but when it comes to Skila, an Isha cannot be Niskela, Saruma, we're worried about hirhurim. So Rabba, there's a big difference by Sota. You see, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned by Sota because by Sota, it's not necessarily the end of her life. She may be innocent. She may not explode from or implode from drinking the May Sota, and then the Pirchei Kuna are going to have taivas for her. Hacha hamiktala. But over here, this woman is about, by Skila, this woman is about to be killed. So much less of a concern of Yerhurim when the woman's not walking out of here. And if you'll say, yeah, maybe they're not going to have hirurim for this woman because she's going to be dead, but it will get their Yetzer Hara working in overdrive, and that Yetzer Hara is now going to reflect itself onto other people. We have an accepted tradition that the Yetzer Hara only has an effect on that which a person is able to see. Tosos points to the well-known Gemara Megillah Daf Tesvav, that Kala Omer Rachav Rachav Miyad Nikri, that anyone who says Rachav Rachav was such a beautiful woman, that anyone who says her name twice will automatically become a Balkari, will become so aroused just by the saying of her name. So the Gemara over there says that one of the Amoraim says, oh yeah, Rachav Rachav, nothing's happening. I could say the name all I want and nothing happens. So the Gemara over there says, no, it's only Biyoda Umakira. It only works if it's Yoda Umakira. If you know what she looks like, you've met her. Probably Yoda Makira are two different things. One is to know what she looks like, and the other is to have a basic idea of her personality, because that's also a basis of attraction. But only then will it get to the point of becoming a Balkari. But the bottom line is, you see in that Gemara as well, that if you don't see the person, then there's not going to be any concern of a Yetzer Hara of Hirhurim. So Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, Drabana, Drabana Lo Kasha. Wait, you only addressed one of the stiras. It was a double stira. You addressed why Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for Hirhurim by the Sota and not by the Skila. What you did not address is, why are the Rabbanan concerned for Hirhur by Skila and not by Sota? The Rabbanan say we better keep the woman dressed by Skila, and by Sota they're not concerned about that. The answer to the Stira Rabbi Yehuda is like we already answered. As far as the Rabbanan are concerned, the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan nami lo kasha, it's also not a Stira, because Amar Kra v'nosu kol anashim lo se'asana kizima aschena hacha ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh, that she's by the woman, the woman being killed, she's already suffering enough. So meaning the reason the Rabbanan say to keep her dressed is not because they're worried about Yerhurim. The Rabbanan have no concerns of Yerhurim. We're punishing this person. No one's jealous of this person. No one has taivas for this person. The reason we keep her dressed by the Skila is that she's suffered enough. She's already gone through enough of an indignity, so we don't need to further cause her suffering by undressing her. So, she's not getting killed because she did mitzvahs ma'asim tovim. You know, this is not a good person. So why not give her that double indignity? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ruva, Amar Kra, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Pasuk says, ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and included in that is Baror lo misa yafa, that once you have to kill the person, you should do it in the nicest possible way, not to be mevaza the person on their death as well. So says Gemara, lemad Rav Nachman tanaihi. So that idea of Rav Nachman, that Baror lo misa yafa, is a machlokas tanaim. Only the Rabbanon are concerned about Baror lo misa yafa, about giving a nicer, a more pleasant death, and the Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that. So says Marlo, to Kuli Alma Islud Rav Nachman, everyone holds you have to give a misa yafa. Question is, what would a person prefer? Meaning, when we're going to give a person skila, we have two options. We could do it in as quick a way as possible. That will involve undressing them. Or we can do that with as little humiliation as possible. That will involve keeping them dressed. So the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is, what would a person prefer? A quicker death with more humiliation, or a slower death with less humiliation? But certainly what we do is what they prefer. This is one of two times that we're going to have on this Amud, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, specifically in the context of Baror lo misa yafa, of choosing a misa yafa for a person. So V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha comes up a few different places in Shas, but two of them are right here about how we would kill a person. The other one's going to be in a few lines. We're going to see that the height of the base haskila has to be high enough that it will kill the person fairly quickly, because Baror lo misa yafa, we want it to be as quick as possible. So Tosos raises the question, and Rabbeinu Yonah explains Tosos' question, that since the pasuk is ve'avta l'reacha kamocha, kipshuto doesn't really raise any problems. Meaning, ve'avta l'reacha kamocha, the pasuk pshat is, love other Jews, you should love your friend like yourself. So how does the Gemara know to darshan this pasuk about chayave misos? You know, chayave misos, I would have said, is the opposite, is the exception to the after l'reacha kamocha. This is a person that you're not supposed to love. This is a person that you're supposed to kill. So how did the Gemara know? How did Chazal know that the after l'reacha kamocha can't be understood just kipshuto, and instead should be applied to misos beisdin? So Tos says that perhaps it's from the lashon of lereyacha. Lereyacha, he says, is not shayach on a living person, because a person, meaning it's impossible to love reyacha kamocha when he's alive, because it's impossible. The halacha is not that way. There's a gemara in Bamitziyah of Samach Beis that if two people are walking in a desert and one of them has a kiton shalmayim, if they both drink it, they'll both die. If one of them drinks it, the one that drinks it will survive, and the other one will die. So Ben Petura says better that that they should both drink it and both die, and neither one see the death of the other one. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva v'limeid v'chaya chicha ima chayecha kod milchaya chavircha. An explicit halacha. You come before somebody else. So you see clearly, v'yavta l'recha kamocha doesn't apply to a living person. You're not supposed to love him exactly the way you love yourself. Because if you did, you would you couldn't keep the kiton shalmayim for yourself. So that's what Tos says, tipped off Chazal, that v'yavta l'recha kamocha must be talking b'shas misa. That once he's going to die anyway, so let him die the way you would want to die. Meaning, if you were in that same situation where you would have to die, So kill him in a way that you would want it for yourself. Rav Ruchim Fushel Perlau in his beer to the Sefer Mitzvah of Asad Yagon says that what you see from Tosos is that V'afta L'recha Kamocha only applies La'achar Misa, because while a person is alive, it simply doesn't make sense to say that you love him the way you love yourself. The problem is, there are numerous Gemaras throughout Shas that apply V'afta L'recha Kamocha to a living person. For example, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Samechei says that someone who's madir chaveru hana'a mimamono is over on v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. I take a neder that my friend can't get any hana'a from my money. That's a violation of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. My friend is alive and still a violation of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. More famously, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Aleph, a person has to see a woman before he's mekadesh her. Why? Because you don't want a man to be married to a woman that he finds unattractive, and he's going to start to resent her, and that's going to be a violation of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, which is clearly about a living woman, about a living wife. So how the Gemara says even later on in this Masechta that a ben is able to be makiz dam for his father, his son for a father, could do akazas adam, because people want akazas adam, and that's v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. The father's very much alive in that scenario. So says Rabbi Yochum Fushel Perlau that according to Tosos, when the Torah says v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, be'ikar it's la'achar misa, because only la'achar misa can there be a chiyuv to do to someone else what you would do for yourself. But he says, from the chiyuv la'achar misa, we learn bekal v'chomer what the chiyuv is mechayim. And what he suggests is, and this is quite a chiddush, that the chiyuv of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha mechayim can't be that you have to do for other people exactly what you would do for yourself. We have a beferish araya, the kiton shalmayim. You don't have to give him the kiton shalmayim. You keep chayecha kodmin. No, the chiyuv v'yahavta l'recha kamocha is whatever it's shlila, whatever it's to not do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. You should treat him with in terms of don't assault him, don't hurt him, don't bother him, don't not to do bad things. It's all derech shlila. That's what we derive on the living from what we do to the dead. And that's why the Gemara in Shabbos, when that ger came to Hillel and says, I want you to be megayir me, al menaseh melamid kol ha'torah kula, melamid mi kol ha'torah kula, when I'm omed al regel achas, k'shomed al regel achas. So what did he say? Mada alach sni l'chaver chalos savid. He didn't say it in the positive. He said it b'lashon shlila. Mada alach sni, what you don't like, don't do to someone else. Says Rav Saad Yagon, because that's the entire mitzvah v'yavta l'recha kamocha. Otherwise, it'd be ridiculous. Every time I buy myself a new suit, I have to buy every Jew a new suit. That's crazy. That's impossible. You can't do literally kamocha. So it has to be what you don't do to other people. That is explicitly against the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, talks about how we have a mitzvah to love every single Jew based on the v'yavta l'recha kamocha, and he says, therefore, tzarich l'saper b'shivcho, you should speak nicely about other people, v'lachos al mamono, kasharuchas al mamon atzmo, v'rotza b'kavod atzmo, respect him the way you respect yourself. The Rambam in Hilchos Avol says that there's a mitzvah Sasei to be mevaker cholim, menachim avelim, otzah asameis, achnasas kala, halvayas orchim, All of this is because is included in the after the Reach Kamocha, meaning the Rambam says, even though these detailed halachos are all Drabbanan, meaning to do it specifically this way is a din Drabbanan. The Rabbanan were masaking to do specifically Hachnas Zorachim, specifically walking the guests out, specifically Bikur Cholim, but they're all a kiyum of the mitzvah of the after the Reach Kamocha. What you see very clearly is that the Rambam holds the after is even in the positive. So what are you going to do about the fact that it can't be kamocha? You're allowed to take the kiton shalmayim. You don't have to buy a suit for every Jew every time you buy yourself a suit. How do we deal with that? So the Netziv explains in the Hamak Davar on the pasuk v'after l'recha kamocha that the way we would understand it is that you don't have to do for somebody else what you do for yourself. That's impossible. You have to do for somebody else what you would expect someone else to do for you, or what you would want somebody else to do for you. You don't expect somebody else to buy you clothing every time they buy themselves clothing. You don't expect someone else with one jug of water to give it to you instead of themselves. You have to do for somebody else what you would expect them to do for you, not what you would do for yourself. That's kamocha. That's how the Netziv explains the Rambam must understand the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reach Kamocha, which is a very great chiddush and a very important way to be magdir the mitzvah. Rav Shachter always says, the Ahavta L'Reach Kamocha, mitzvahs beyond the chaver in general, are based on the notion of reciprocity, that we have to reciprocate to each other. That's exactly this Netziv, that it's all based on what I expect you to do for me, and that's why most mitzvahs beyond the chaver don't apply to a Ben Noach, meaning for a Jew to a Ben Noach, because I expect very little of a Ben Noach to me. I don't expect a Ben Noach to give me tzedakah. I don't expect a Ben Noach to be mevaker chola, to be gomel chesed with me. So because I don't have that expectation of him to do with me, and it's all based on reciprocity, I have no obligation to do it with him. But to assault him, to rob him, I expect him not to do that to me, well then I have that same mitzvah not to do that to him either. It's all based on reciprocity. Okay, says the Mishnah now further. Based on the base of skila was two stories high. One of the edim would shove the guy down. Nepach alibo, if he flipped over on his chest, hovchal masnav, they turned him around on his back. The meis ba yotzev, he died just with that initial push. The basin's yotze, the mitzvah of giving him the skila. The imlav, but if he did not yet die, hasheni notel as even v'nosno alibo. The second guy takes the stone and places it on his chest. It mace, meaning from the top of the base of skila, he throws it down on his chest. It mace ba yotze. If he dies with that, then they're yotze. If him lav, rigimasa b'chol Yisrael. If he doesn't die with that, then more Jews join in stoning him. Shnemer yad edim tiyav b'rishona lamiso viyad kala amba achrona. That initially it's the yad edim. It's only if it doesn't work with the yad edim, then it's yad kala amba achrona. Now the shtei komos that we talk about over here, it doesn't say exactly how tall a koma is. So the Tiferes Yisrael says the Gova Beis Haskila must have been six amos, because koma means komas adam, the height of a person. So it's double the person's height. The height of a person, we assume, is three amos. However, that is not pashut at all. Tosus writes in Masechta Shabbos Daf Sadi Beis that a person is three amos tall up to his shoulders, but his head then adds another half amma to his height. So shtei komos would therefore be seven amos, not six amos. Meaning the reason to believe that a person's height is three amos is because Gemara says that the size of a mikvah is the exact size of a box that you could fit a person in, which is one amma by one amma. We know that by sukkah, that the shear of Rosh Ovarubo is six tvachim by six tvachim. It's one amma by one amma, and then three amos tall. So that's the amount of water that fits in one amma by one amma by three amos tall. That's mem sa'a. That's the amount of water you need in a mikvah. So it makes it sound like three amos is the height of a person, but Tosfos says no. When the person goes into the box, there's water displacement. The water level rises higher, and that's why it covers his head. But the person is actually taller than three amos. And if you think about it, by the standard measurement of an amma from elbow to the top of one's middle finger, it's hard to imagine that the average person is only three of those. Meaning maybe three of those
close to shoulder height, but then you would have, if you assume standard Amma is 24 inches, Sanein Chinami, a person, tall person is three Amos. But if you assume, based on how Chazal say, the elbow to the top of the middle finger, so you'd imagine that a person is more than three Amos. But it comes out quite beautiful. The Rashi, the Gemara said earlier in the Daflam Zayin Beis, that Bizman Hazeh, even though we no longer have Misos Beis Din Dalin Misos Lo Batlo. And therefore, if someone is Chayiv Skila, O Nofel Menagag O Chaya Dorasto. So Rashi says, because falling from a gag is just like Skila, because the base of Skila is Shtei Komos. The base of Skila is two stories high. So what is that? And a gag is two stories high? A gag, I would imagine, is one story high. What do you mean, shtei komos? So koma doesn't mean a story. Koma means the height of a person. So one of the Achronim points out that the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Chesed Beis, tells us that a makabel makom lechaveru livnos lo bayis. If you're supposed to build a bayis for someone and the measurements were not given, how big should that bayis be? So it should be sheish al shmona, six amos by eight amos. That's the ideal size of the length and width of a bayis. And how tall should it be? Well, the average height of a room, we assume, is half width plus half length. So if a typical bayis, according to the Gemara, is sheish al shmona, and height of a bayis is half width plus half length, so that's half of eight plus half of six. That's four plus three. That is seven amos. So therefore, someone who's nofel min agag is going to be experiencing exactly what the niskalin experience, that they fall from a height of shtei komos, assuming that each koma is three and a half amos. The achronim are also bothered why we say this lashon that they are nosein the stone alibo. Is it nosein? They throw the stone alibo. Nosein the stone alibo. So they suggest tosiyantiv raises this issue, and they in fact the Rambam's lashon is mashluch ha'se'evin alibo, but in some of the Achronim suggest that the Mishnah is being ramis to us that it was so heavy that you couldn't really throw it, you sort of just dropped it because it was so heavy a stone. Rabbi Yaakov Emden instead suggests that no, this is a remes to the din that we had earlier, that stone is paid for by the tzibur, because we don't make a person kill himself, pay for his own death. So in that sense, it's like a matana that we're giving to him from the tzibur, so that's why it's lashem nosno. He might say no thanks, but that's the matana that we're giving the person. Why is it that the edim have to be the one to actually execute the person? That seems a little much to have the edim execute the person. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos that since they're the ones that saw the crime, the dayanim didn't. They only heard it from the edim, so the edim are more clear on the fact that this person is chayiv misa than anybody. And if you're going to kill someone, let it be by the people who are most in the know that the person is in fact chayiv misa. The Ralbag in Devarim Perek Yud Zayin says that the reason is that if Edim know that they're going to be the ones that have to actually, that's not an easy thing for a person to do, to actually have to kill a person. So they're going to be very careful before saying they're Edus. You know, it's one thing if someone else is going to do the dirty work, so then it's easy to say the testimony that will get the person killed. But if you're going to have to do the killing yourself, that's not an easy thing for a person to be able to do. And maybe that's why the Edim have to do the killing. Says the Gemara, Tana v'koma shalo, that you have the height of the base of Skila, which is double the height of a person, plus he's falling his full height because you're pushing him over. So that's it turns out to three komos. Does it take that much height to kill a person? That we learned that by a bar, 10 tefachim is enough to kill a human being or an animal that falls into a bar. So 10 tefachim is less than 2 amos. So what do you need? 7 amos plus the height of the person. Turns out he's falling 10 amos. Yeah, you only need him to fall 10 tefachim. Says Amram Nachman, Amram Barvua, Amakra, V'yavta L'reach Kamocha. Barola Misa Yafa. That we want it to be a quick death. So we want to throw him from high enough off that he's going to die from the force of the impact immediately. That it's not going to be with a lot of suffering. Fracting Mari Ihachi. So why don't we take him to the top of the Empire State Building and throw him off? Meaning that will do it. Meaning there's going to be no doubt then that he'll die on impact. Mishum demnuvel. No, because his body will also be completely desecrated, and we certainly don't want to desecrate a person's body. Why? What's the Isser of Nivel HaMeis? So Gilyonei Ashas, Rav Yosef Engel in Babasra Daf Kufnun Dalit, says that the Makar of Nivel HaMeis is learned from the Lav of, in this week's Parsha, Lo Sali Nivlasa Al Eitz. There's a lot that's learned from this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha happens to have 74 mitzvos, more mitzvos than any other Parsha in the Torah. But one of those mitzvos is Lo Sali Nivlasa Al Eitz. You're not allowed to leave a dead body hanging overnight. So just like the Torah doesn't allow that sort of humiliation of the dead body, so too the Torah doesn't allow any sort of bizayon of the dead body. And this is a situation where we are doresh taima dekra. I, generally speaking, we paskin that we're not doresh taima dekra, but over here, it's mefurish in the Kra. When the time is mefurish in the Torah, then we are dorish time in the Kra. We're going to see that. That's the sugi about a melech having, or we saw the melech having having multiple wives. Shelo yasur es libo, that they shouldn't lead his heart astray. So because the Torah says that it shouldn't be, that they shouldn't lead his heart astray, so that's a reason to assume that dafka over there, we are dorish time in the Kra, because the Torah gives the reason, the Gemara says. Meaning Rabbi Shimon holds, you're dorish time in the Kra, even when the Torah doesn't give a reason. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. We pass we're not Dorish time in the Kra, but when the Torah gives a reason, then we are Dorish the reason. So here as well, the Torah gives a reason, and therefore we are Dorish the time of the Kra, and we don't do anything to be Mevaza a dead body. Okay, says the Gemara for that, the two dots. Echad min Edim Dochlo. So one of the Edim pushes him over. Tan Rabban Minayin Shebedachia. How do I know that we do the pushing? Tamalomer Yaro. Meaning when it talks about the Isra of touching Har Sinai and how a person's Chayev Skila for doing so. So it describes the punishment, and he uses the term that yaro yare. So yaro is a lashon of pushing him. Uminayin shebeskila. How do I know we also stone him? Tamalomer sakol, because that same pasuk prior to saying yaro says sakol yisakel. Uminayin shebeskila ubidchia. How do I know we do both? Tamalomer sakol yisakel. Oh yaro yare. It says to do both. Uminayin shemeis bidchia yatsa. How do I know that if he dies when you shove him off the cliff, then you're already yotze, you don't need to do anything else? Tamalomer oh yaro yare. That it's or yaro yare. I mean that even if you do just the yaro yare, you only do the pushing, that's good enough. Minayin shafl doros kain. Yeah, that's talking about someone who touched Har Sinai. How do I know that by every chi of skila we say the same thing? Tamalomer sakol yisakel. V'im lav eidasheni notel se'evan. If he doesn't die right away, so the second aid takes the evan. Notel, he takes the evan himself. Atanya b'shimben elaz romer evan ayisosham masri shnei b'nei adam. Notel v'nos na libo, that the evan needs to be lifted by two people before it's thrown on the person. Im meis ba yotza, and if the person dies from that evan, then you yotze. So says, but don't you see that it needs to be lifted by two people? You can't just have the second aid take it. Says Moral Taimech, if that's your kasha, tikshila chigufa, you have a stira within that very sentence, because it says masri shnei b'nei adam, that it needs to be lifted by two people. Then it says no to love and no snal libo, that one guy takes it, b'lashon yachid, that he takes it and he puts it on the person's heart. El demadli la bahadi chavrei v'shadi la iu kiyechid detes mirazia. No, what they do is the two of them lift it together, but only one of them does the throwing. He can't lift it off the ground by himself. He needs help lifting it off the ground, but we don't want them throwing it together, because by definition, if they're throwing it together, they might be out of sync, and if they're out of sync, one of them will be holding back and won't be thrown with as much force. It could be thrown with much more force when one of them is throwing it on his own. It's already not done with so much force because it's so heavy, but it will be done with more force when one of them is doing it and not both of them. V'imlav rigimaso. So he said, if he doesn't die with that first stone, then everyone joins in. But didn't we learn in a brisa that it never happened that a person didn't die from that first stone? So what are we talking about, that if he doesn't die from the first stone? So mikamina da'avid di'imitzra chamina. Well, no one said that it actually happened. We're just saying that if it were to happen that he didn't die, that he wouldn't die, the halacha would be that you'd have other people do. But in reality, it never happens. Meaning just like Ben Sora Mora, in reality, never happens. Just like Yerin Idachas, in reality, never happens. Amar Mar, Evin Hoysa, Vatanya, Achas, Evin Shiniska, Bav Yachas, Evin Nitlalav, Vecha, Shaiv, Sev Nerag, Bav Vecha, Tzudu, Shnech, Nech, Bav, Kula, Nik, Barani, Mo. How can you say that they had a stone there? Didn't we learn that whenever a Bezin kills somebody, they bury the thing that they used to kill the person with together with the person? So shouldn't they not have the stone there? Says Gemara, Lotzricha, Demiskini, Umaisi, Achrini, Chulafai. Yehu. No, clearly you're right. They would bury the stone with him, but then they would bring another one. They would bring another one to replace it for the next time they would need one. Nikbar nimo, vatanya e nikbar nimo. Are you sure they buried the stone with him? I thought we had a brisa that says they don't. Rav Papa, my imo, imo bitfisaso. When we say that it gets buried with him, it doesn't mean literally with him. It means imo bitfisaso, means in his general vicinity, but not literally in the same kever as him. Why is it taka that that they would bury the stone? Where do we get that from? So the Rambam writes, kidosh kide in Sanhedrin Parakas Vavalachtes, kidesha lo yelo zichron ra. We don't want people to say, oh, that's the eighth shenitl of Ploni. That's the even sheniskal bo Ploni. Rashi says, we're going to see later on in tomorrow's daf that it's based on a pasuk kavarsik berenu that we learn that you bury the stone with him. If you actually look in tomorrow's daf, you're going to see we don't have any such drasha. We have a drasha that you bury the eighth shenitla lov with him, but not the stone that. So Rashi assumes it means everything that you would anything that you would kill him with, you'd bury along with him. Rav Zilberstein discusses in Chashukei Chemed, what if a person is a victim of a terror attack and a terrorist Rachman al Tzlan takes a tractor and kills a bunch of people with the tractor? Should you bury the tractor with the victim? So he says if it's based on the Rambam that you don't want a zichron to the ra, so then absolutely not. You would not bury the tractor with the person. Adraba, let people remember that what Amalek does to us. Let people remember what our enemies do to us. But if it's based on Xeris HaKasluf, that when a person is killed with something, you bury the weapon together with the person, so then maybe in a chinami, maybe you would have to do it. I think the assumption is that we don't have to do it. Amar Shmuel, Nitli Yada Edim, Shmuel says a wild chiddush, that if the Edim don't have hands, their hands are cut off, putter, then the person does not get skila, the person does not get killed. My time would be in a yad edim tia bavarishona, because you need yad edim tia bavarishona. You need to the edim to have yad ha edim first, and we assume that you require krat kedusiv. In fact, there's a discussion in poskim: is a person obligated to, let's say, donate a kidney to save a person's life? Do I have to give up a part of my body to save another person's life? So is it a mitzvah for sure? Great mitzvah. Am I obligated to do so? So the Radvaz suggests that one is not obligated to cut out an Eiver in order to save someone else's life. Says the Or Sameach, the Raya is from this halacha when you consider the Rashi at the very end of yesterday's daf. Rashi at the very end of yesterday's daf told the story of people who made up testimony against the son of Shimon ben Shetach as a way of getting revenge on Shimon ben Shetach. So they made up testimony and had him killed, but they felt bad before he was executed, and they wanted to retract their testimony and say, no, don't kill him. But they couldn't retract their testimony. They had no way to save him. So says the Or Sameach in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches, sure they had a way to save him. Let them cut off their own hands, and then they would save him. If they cut off their own hands, they're not going to be killing themselves. They'll cut off. Then the halacha is, you're not allowed to kill him. So if the halacha is that you have to save an innocent person's life by giving up a limb, then the halacha should have been that they had to cut off their own hands, but apparently they didn't have to do that. Says Rav Meisha, not a raya at all. Rav Meisha Yardeich Beisim Kufay and Dalid Anaf Dalid says not a raya. Who says they didn't have to cut off their own hands? They didn't do it. Not everyone can stomach that. Not everyone could bring themselves to do it. But maybe in a chinami, you do have to cut off your own hands in order to save the other person's life, if you're the one that made up the edus against the person. Okay, says the Gemara. So you need Yaredin Tia Barishon Veleka Elameata. Edim gidmin dvei kara achinami de psili. So you're going to tell me when the edim initially didn't have any arms, so they're going to be possible edus? No. Shani yasam domokrai yad edim shahaisa kvar. It's only, you only need yad edim tia babarishona if they already had hands from before. Mesve kol makam shiyadu shnayim yomrim idin on bish ploni shenigmar dinam bezim ploni uploni uploni edav hareze yahareg. We learned that you can even kill a person if two edim come and say that this person was already convicted in a different bezdin. The pashtus is that the edim are not, the edim that testified against him, the original bezin, aren't here to kill him, and yet we still carry out the misa. So Tirgum Shmuel behein hein edav. No, in a chinami, we would only do it if the people that are telling us about this are the original edim. Obi mibi in a krakat d'chsev, is this true? true that every time the Torah gives a detail in the way things are done, that if that detail is not there, then we have to throw the whole thing out? V'atanya, mosi mas hamaka, rotzeachu. Ein li'el b'misak suvabo. Minayin shemi atiyochal ha-miso, misak suvabo, shatam miso, b'kol miso she'atiyochal ha-miso. How do I know that if you can't kill a rotzeach with the way that you're supposed to kill him however you can? Tamalom, mosi mas hamaka, mikol makom. Pasuk says, mosi mas hamaka, mikol makom. So you see from there that you don't need krok kiddichsiv. You can kill him however it takes to kill him. Shiny asam dom krok mosi mas. No, that's Xeris HaKosov over there. That's an exception to the rule. Frankly, Gemara, no. When the Torah tells you a halacha in one place, we don't assume that's an exception. We assume that we immediately apply a mematzinu, a binyanav, that we apply that to everywhere else. V'ligmar minah. So why don't we learn from Rotzeach that you don't need krok kiddichsiv? No, because mishum dav Rotzeach v'gol adam shnei ksuv naban keachad. Because Rotzeach and Goal Adam are both situations where we don't apply Krak Kedichsiv. V'kol Shnei Ksuvim Aban Kechad Ein Melamdin. And therefore we can't derive from the two of them, because the rule is whenever Shnei Ksuvim Aban Kechad Ein Melamdin. Rotzeach HaDa'amran, Rotzeach like we just explained, and Goal Adam Mayhi. Where do we see that Goal Adam, you don't need Krak Kedichsiv? Titania, Goal Adam Yomis HaSar Rotzeach Mitzvah B'Goal Adam. Uminayin Shemein Lo Goel Shebezin Ma'amidin Lo Goel. How do I know that if there is no Goal Adam, that Bezin appoints someone to be a Goal Adam, which is not Krak Kedichsiv? Shemar B'Fagubo Mikol Makom. That from the phrase B'Fagubo, we say that someone's got to be able to kill him. So Amalei Mark Shisha B'Reid Rav Chista the Ravashi. Umi lo bin krat kidchiv vatnan haya echad man gidemo ilemo chigero suma ucheresh eno nasabin soramar. This week's parsha, that if one of the parents has some sort of disability, the child does not become a ben soramar shenemar v'tafsu bo v'lo gidman. They have to have arms. V'otziu also v'lo chigren. They have to have legs. V'amru v'lo ilman. They have to be able to speak. B'neinu zeh v'lo suman. They have to be able to say zeh. They have to be able to point to him and identify him. They can't be blind. Einenu shomei v'kaleinu v'lo charashin. They have to be able to speak. My time alav mishum to be. Aren't all these requirements because you need to fill every detail as it appears in the pasuk? Lo, shiny asam to kule krayaseiruhu. No, generally you don't need krakidusiv. That's an exception because that entire pasuk is a krayaseiru. That entire pasuk happens to be extra. Okay, I wanted to get to the mission. We didn't quite get there. We'll finish up krakidusiv bez Hashem tomorrow.